At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The business of America is small business. I welcome Gene Marks, the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK edition and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, waiting for the celebration of the Philadelphia Phillies as world champions once they get past this Texas team. Gene is traveling. He's in the UK. Wherever you go within the trading sphere of the United States, the cost of living weighs on all decisions, and no more so than in the U.S., with the assumption now that the recession is in front of us, 2023, with the assumption that inflationary pressures can only be cooled by the Federal Reserve moving aggressively in its next two meetings or perhaps more to raise interest rates. And we also have this headline from the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. U.S. wages rose rapidly in third quarter, keeping pressure on inflation. Pay and benefits increased 5% last quarter from year prior, a slight easing in gains from earlier in 22. Gene, a very good evening to you. The recession, it is a word that people fear. It is not necessary to fear it because you can prepare for it. But right now, your measure of small businesses, they're warned. Are they listening to the warning? Are they being cautious about their commitments and their hiring? Good evening to you.
John, yeah, you know, boy, I have so much to talk about based on what you just said to open this conversation. First of all, just a quick comment on wages. The 5% increase in wages that's being reported by the government, it's actually understated. The numbers that you really want to be following are the ones that are published by both ADP and Paychex, the country's two biggest payroll services, because that's not survey data like the government is taking. These are actual numbers from their actual clients, millions of customers that are getting paid. ADP just 2 weeks ago said that year-over-year pay increases on their system is about 7.6%, not 5%. And we're telling all of our clients that, you know, you have to make adjustments to your compensation for your employees. And if you're budgeting for pay increases this year, you've got to be budgeting pay increases around the range of 7 to 8%, maybe even more. And I just want to make sure that I say that. Does that have a impact on inflation? Of course it does, because, you know, payroll is a major cost to most businesses. And that's going to, you know, contribute to a lot of the other inflationary core materials prices that are impacting businesses right now as we're heading into 2023. So that's a big challenge that businesses are going to have. The other big challenge is navigating recession. Know, John, that most of my clients, other than the ones in the construction industry and some manufacturers, most of them had pretty good years. And even when we talk about, you know, the struggles and the challenges that the real estate industry has had, you know, let's not forget that 2020, 2021 were hot years for real estate. It was only in 2022 where things really kind of changed a bit. So, you know, if you ask most small businesses, regardless of their industry, most are going to say that 2022 was not a bad year for them. In fact, some are going to say it was actually a pretty good year. We're looking ahead, though. And my clients are reporting to me and my readers reporting to me deficiencies in their backlogs, deficiencies in their pipeline, deficiencies in their open orders. They're concerned about the next few months and heading into 2023, that it's going to be a softer year. And they're also concerned about rising interest rates, which is going to have a big impact on them being able to get working capital loans and the cost of those loans to manage their way through a slowing down economy and higher costs. All of these are pressures that business owners are dealing with right now. The smartest ones, John, they're done thinking about 2022. I mean, we're in almost in November right now. They're looking ahead to 2023, and they are battening down the hatches. And we'll be talking a lot about that over the next few months.
And Gene, because we just had a report on the GDP annualized for the third quarter, 2.6%. Yeah. That sounds positive. Is it, Gene? What does it tell us about the future? Is that the old famous rearview mirror?
No, it is a rearview mirror. It's certainly an improvement over the first two quarters of the year, which had negative GDP growth. A lot of these, the numbers themselves, which are, it's good news in the sense that exports were up. That was a big part of that. And consumer spending remained strong through the end of this last quarter, September 30th. So that's good news. Retail sales, although was flat in September, still at like historically high levels, John, both brick and mortar and e-commerce. So that's good news. But what everyone is really concerned about is that now that inflation is really taking a toll, and consumers themselves, as confidence starts going down, small business confidence has been decreasing. Many of us are saying, all right, it wasn't a not bad, quarter. 2.3% is not bad. Ain't China good, 7% or 8%, but we haven't had that in a while other than COVID. So, we're concerned that this is sort of the last bit of good news that we're going to see on GDP for the next couple of quarters, while the reality of inflation and a slowdown in higher interest rates are going to start sinking in.
We go to reports that speak to everyone, not just small businesses, but no more important than the U.S. Department of Labor regulatory agency commenting on who is and who is not an independent contractor. What is the significance for everyone on this, Gene?
Oh, my God, John, this just does not get talked about enough. And it's this enormous change that the Department of Labor is making to the worker classification rules about independent contractors. These are freelancers, John, right? 1099s. I use a handful of them in my business. The rules are this. If you're a business owner, if you're using a freelancer, an independent contractor, somebody that you send a 1099 form every year or two, and that person is generating revenue, they are part of the core of your business. You're billing them out to your customers. They're delivering goods. They're providing contracted services for your customers. And again, you're getting revenues from it. They're part of your projects or part of your product, product costs or billings. You might most likely have to be classifying those independent contractors more as employees, which means you would have to pay payroll taxes. You would have to make them eligible potentially for your employee benefit plans. They would have workers' rights. They would have the ability to unionize as well. It's a very pro-worker, pro-union change that the Department of Labor is making. Shouldn't come as much of a surprise. The chief of the Department of Labor is Marty Walsh, who was a longtime, multi-decade president of a large union in Massachusetts before he became mayor of Boston. So Secretary Walsh is moving forward with a lot of pro-worker things, and this independent contractor rule, which right now is still up for comment, and they've extended the comment period, but it's going to happen, guys. And I'm telling you now, if you're using those contractors and they are part of the core of your business, your revenues, you very well might not be classifying this as contractors going forward. They might very well have to be classified as employees. So start thinking about that now.
Another governmental agency heard from the IRS. We all know that. This is technical language. Gene can help me. Employee Retention Credit, ERC, it's called at the IRS. IRS is warning employers about third parties falsely claiming tax refunds from ERC. Gene, I'm lost. What does this mean?
So the Employee Retention Tax Credit is something that became available as part of both, the two big stimulus bills during COVID. And without going into the weeds, John, it's basically this. If you suffered, if your business suffered because of COVID, if you had to shut down or you were partially shut down for any quarter, or you had a revenue loss, you might be entitled to this credit. And it's a pretty big credit that you can get. It's basically like thanking you for paying those wages by giving you back a credit. This is a credit that you can take against your future payroll tax, and you literally get cash back from the government if you are eligible for this. So number one, not enough businesses were aware of this and they weren't taking advantage of this. So my advice to you for starters is that if you were partially or fully shut down, or if you had revenue loss during COVID 2020 or 2021 compared to 2019, talk to your accountant or talk to your payroll company, because they all offer services. They can look into it further for you and seeing if you're eligible for this credit. You can get money back from the government for any payroll taxes that you paid during this period. But what the IRS is warning is that a lot of nefarious firms are sending out emails to companies saying, you're eligible for this credit already, and you could be getting tens of thousands of money back from the government. Pay us these fees and we'll help you apply for this. And the IRS is saying, like, listen, you're not automatically eligible for this. There are rules that you have to follow. And these people are not people that you should be talking to. You need to be talking to your accountant or to your payroll service company. Those are the people that know the rules and will advise you whether or not you're eligible for this credit.
Now, the midterms, we don't know which way the wind blows, but we can make assumptions on what it means for small businesses in the event. And in this instance, Gene has published a column at The Hill. In the event the Republicans are in a position of majority following this election, that would be in January when the new Congress is sworn in. In that event, Gene has some recommendations. What is to be done? Two particular fixes are needed. One is immigration. Oh, fair enough. And Gene, what is the other one that the Republicans, we're giving them an agenda. They're going to win, but I'm unfamiliar with their agenda. Here's a good one. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, you know, one is definitely immigration. I'd like to get back to that in a minute. But two is inflation. Obviously, that is what is impacting everybody, both consumers and businesses. And you know, the steps that are being taken right now by the Federal Reserve are the right steps to be taken. We have a deluge of money floating around, an oversupply of money from various stimulus bills, about $6 trillion, almost between $5 and $6 trillion, that is chasing after too little demand. So you have an oversupply of something. It's causing a loss of value. That's what's causing inflation, or a big part of it, because the supply chain issues are starting to work themselves out. I mean, there's no more backlogs at the ports. It's really fiscal issues. So the one thing that that the Republican Party should be doing is making sure that encouraging and standing behind Fed Chairman Powell to continue down his road of aggressively increasing interest rates, taking the medicine. I know it's a recession risk, but it's something that has to be done if we want to bring inflation under control. And then number two is enough with the big stimulus bills, the Build Back Better and the Inflation Reduction Act and the trillions that have been spent in the last session of Congress. That kind of stuff is the opposite effect when it comes to reducing inflation. So that's certainly something the Republicans can do. The second thing, John, I think is I think it's going to be a big topic over the next 2 years. And I'm really hoping that you and I are talking about it more because it's in the news. I do think there is bipartisan room for immigration reform. It might be sweeping or it might be partial, but there is such a demand because all I hear from my clients is they can't find workers, John. And that's all we read in the news as well. And then we hear there are 10 million unfilled jobs out there, and we have millions of immigrants in this country that are seeking a way to get legalized. It's whatever is going to be done by Congress, if there is an immigration reform bill, it is going to be unfair. There are going to be people that are going to be legalized, that are allowed to work, that, you know, they didn't have to go through the hoops that others had to go through. But I don't know. I think that bullet has to be taken so that we have a way forward. And I just know that between both the Democrats and the Republicans, there's a lot of talk about common ground to try and figure out a way to allow these people to work so that our businesses can employ them and let them pay taxes. So I'm kind of optimistic that we're going to see something of that in the next session of Congress.
And the general opinion is the growth of a population means the growth of prosperity. And the younger the population, the growth of prosperity. And that's what immigration would provide for, Gene. These are young people with children or about to have children. And so they become part of the American success story of the last two centuries.
And there's no question that it would have an impact on our infrastructure. Some will be needing social services. I get that there's all of that. And yet a small percentage, you know, might contribute to crime or violence. But I don't believe I know that these people are good people that are leaving their country for a better life for their children and themselves. And they want to work. And I know that my clients want to hire them. And they're not able to hire them right now, John, because the rules and the laws will not let them do that. And I think that needs to be changed. And I know the business community would support some type of immigration reform that would give these people the ability to be hired. And I think that's something that we could see happen.
Gene Marks, small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK, where Gene is right now, Lucky Man on the other side of the Atlantic, and US edition, as well as the hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. The Phillies, when they are champions of the world. But right now we're going to Halloween in Philadelphia because there's an opportunity here. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.